All right, my friends, if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 15. John 15. Today has been a special day for our church family. Like I said earlier, every day is special, but today was a little extra special as we got to see three families commit to raising their children in a Christ-honoring way. Children are often marked by their parents. Do you know what I mean when I say that? They're marked by their parents, meaning that one child might have her mama's eyes or her daddy's smile, might have their father's sense of humor. Mason has my sense of humor, so pray for him is what you should do. He has my sense of humor, and he has Carla's competitive nature. Children are marked by their parents. They're marked by those who raise them. Sometimes you can point to a kid, and you can know, that kid belongs to that family. You just know it by looking at them. And here's the catch. The same thing ought to be true for every single believer in Christ. If you're a Christian, you ought to carry the mark of Jesus on you. People ought to be able to look at you and conclude there is something about them, something godly about them. Believers in Christ think differently. We act differently. We look differently. Last week we were in John chapter 14 and we saw three ways that Jesus equips us to live the Christian life, that he's given us the Holy Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he guides us as our counselor, he informs us as our teacher, and he calms us with his peace. And now, again, just hours before the crucifixion, we come to John chapter 15, and Jesus reminds his disciples in John 15, and by default, he reminds us that we have to abide, we have to stay connected, we have to remain in him. And if we do, then our lives will look markedly different. If you remain, if you abide, you will be marked in a very special way. With your Bibles open and in hand, let me invite you to stand as we honor the public reading of God's word. The entire sermon is going to be John 15, 1 through 25, but we're only going to read John 15, 1 through 17 this morning. Christian Standard Bible says this, John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask in my name, whatever you ask the Father, rather, in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for that challenge to us to remain, to abide. Father, I pray today as we dive into your word, I pray that you would speak clearly to us, speak clearly through me, be glorified in these moments ahead. We pray it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated. Two results of being connected to Jesus. The first result is this. If you are connected to Jesus, you will produce good fruit. A believer in Christ can only produce good and godly fruit if they remain connected to Jesus. The illustration that Jesus uses here is that of a vine and of a branch. He used an illustration that would have been familiar to the minds of the disciples. Maybe he was near a vine and a branch. I don't know. But he uses something that would have been familiar. Look at his illustration. Look in verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the what? Branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do everything without me. Is that what he said? What does it say? You can do nothing without me. Jesus used an illustration that would have been super familiar to prove a spiritual point. Let me do the same thing here today. I'm going to use a familiar illustration to prove the same point that Jesus is proving. This is an extension cord. It's got, I guess you would call it, what do you call this thing? Power strip? An extension cord, a power strip. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different outlets on it. It's got 4 different places so you can charge your phone or your Kindle or your iPad, whatever. This is an extension cord. Now, I'm going to test this theory out, and I'm going to see if my lamp will work if I plug my lamp into my extension cord. Do you think it'll work? Man, y'all are a lot smarter than I am. Let's try it out. Let's see if it works. It's plugged in. Let's see if it works. I'm going to push the power button here and shine the light bright. Did it work? Why not? Because it's not plugged in, right? Duh. But watch what happens when you plug it into the source. When I plug the extension cord into the power outlet, and then I turn on the light, does it work? Okay, now listen. You are the, am I blinding y'all? Is this thing like super bright? Like a spotlight? You mean to turn it down a little bit? You are the extension cord. The light is the fruit that is produced from the extension cord. But none of it works if it's not connected to the power outlet. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. And if you stay connected, if you remain in him and stay connected, then you will produce fruit. If you stay close to Jesus, if you remain with Jesus, if you stay plugged in, then man, your life will shine like a light. Like a lamp. But if you try to do something apart from Jesus, well, according to Jesus, you can do nothing apart from him. You can do no good and godly work apart from him. Your job is to remain. Your translation may say abide. That's the same word in the Greek. Your job is to remain or abide in him. And if you do, he will produce good and godly fruit through you. That word remain or abide is huge. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and you track along with me. Every single time you see the word remain or abide, you add it to the tally, all right? We're going to see how many times does the word remain or abide, same Greek word, how many times does that appear between verses 1 through 8? Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain. Do you see it? Remain. There's one. Remain in me and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine. Neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, it will be done for you. My Father is glorified in this, verse 8, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Tell me, how many times did the word remain or abide appear in those eight verses? Seven different times. Now you need to know, when you're reading your Bible at home, when you're studying your Bible at home and you see one word that is repeated multiple times over and over and over again, you need to pay attention to that word. There is something special that God wants us to see about the word remain. The Greek word remain or abide, it literally means to stay with or to stay in the same place over a long period of time. In this context, it doesn't mean that your feet don't move, that you stand in the same spot over a long period of time, but rather it means that you stay with the same person over a long period of time, that you remain with Christ. Kind of like when you go on vacation with your family, you get in the car and you stay with your family. You remain with Christ. You abide with Christ. You stick close to Jesus. You abide in Him. Don't become disconnected from Him. Don't become disconnected from Him when things get tough. Don't walk away from your faith on challenging days. Don't stray from Him. Where He leads, that's where you go. You remain with Him. You abide in Him. And if you do, if you remain, if you abide, then verse 8 says you will do three things. Look at verse 8 in your Bible. If you remain in Him, then you will first produce much fruit. Do you see that in verse 8? Secondly, you will prove to be His disciples. Do you see that in verse 8? And thirdly, you will glorify God. Do you see that in verse 8? But what does it take? It takes you remaining with Him, abiding with Him. You have to stay plugged into the source. You have to stay with Jesus, because apart from Him, you can do nothing. That's what He said. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you're connected to Jesus, you will produce good fruit. Secondly, if you're connected to Jesus, you will stay rooted in His love. Between verses 9 and 25, what we see are five results. We could say five fruits that come from being connected to Jesus. The first is this. These aren't in your bulletin, but you can write them down if you'd like under the outline. The first is this, that a person rooted in the love of Christ will show loving obedience. Look at verse 9 and 10 in your Bible. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, I've also loved you. If," do you see that word if? It's conditional. "If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love." Question, how do you abide? How do you remain in God's love? Well, according to verse 10, you keep His commands. You do what He says. Now we have to clarify, Jesus isn't saying, if you do what I say, if you do what I command, I'll love you more. That is not the gospel. That is not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is your love for the Lord is demonstrated by keeping His commands. That the world will know that you are His if you obey Him, if you do what He said. Listen, someone who says, "I love Jesus, but I refuse to live my life according to the Bible. I refuse to do what He says." Somebody who says, "I love Jesus, but I won't do what He says," is about as insane as someone who says, "I love the light, but I refuse to plug it in." If you love Jesus, you will do what He says, not so that you can earn His love, but precisely because you love Him and you trust Him and you want to follow Him. If you love Jesus, you will demonstrate your love for Him by doing what He said. A person rooted in the love of Christ will show loving obedience. Secondly, they will possess unspeakable joy. Look at verse 11. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be" what? What does your Bible say? What does it say? Full. Mine says complete. Does yours say that? Listen, here's what you need to know. Obedience to Jesus is not misery. Obedience to Jesus is not drudgery. Doing what God has said is not boring. That is the oldest lie in the book. Remember when Satan tempted Adam and Eve in the garden? You don't have to be obedient to what God said. You don't have to do what God said. Just try the fruit. Being obedient to what God said is boring. But if you try the fruit, then you'll have eyes to see. And it was a lie. And it's the same lie today. Obedience to Jesus is not misery. It's not drudgery. Jesus says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete, maxed out, joy to the full. Obedience to God is joy at max capacity. Loving obedience will produce unspeakable joy. Thirdly, a person rooted in the love of Christ will display sacrificial love. Verse 12, look at verse 12. Jesus says, this is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You know what it means to love one another the way Christ has loved us? It means treating one another the way God has treated you. It means sacrificing for one another in ways that hurt, in ways that are painful. You want to know what Christ did? How Christ loved you? He demonstrated his love for you in this, that he laid down his life for you. Even when you were an enemy, he laid down his life for you. And he says in verse 13, no one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. That's the definition of sacrifice. Loving like Jesus is hard. It's hard to love some of y'all. You think it's hard to love you, Brian? I know, that's the point. Sacrificial love is hard. But a person rooted in the love of Christ will love in a sacrificial way. They put others before themselves. They love the way Jesus loved. A person rooted in the love of Christ will show loving obedience, possess unspeakable joy, display sacrificial love, and fourthly, a person rooted in the love of Christ is kingdom-minded. Look at what Jesus says. Look in verse 14. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Can you see it? Here's what those verses say. You are no longer a servant. You are a friend of God. You want to know how you know that? Because God involves you in his work. You know what God is doing. When God involves you in his work, he is calling you into a kingdom work. And according to verse 16, you are to go and produce fruit for the kingdom. And how do you do that? By showing everyone you know and by telling everyone you know who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and why it matters. You take Jesus to the places where you live, work, and play. You show the world what it means to be a follower of Christ. You live out your faith before them so they know. You show the world that you are rooted in Christ, that you're marked by Jesus. Well, finally, number five, a person rooted in the love of Christ will faithfully endure. Listen, here's the tough news. Allegiance to Christ means that the world has declared war on you. That's what it means. The way of the world is diametrically opposed to the ways of God. Jesus reminds us that the world, if you follow him, if you stay connected to him, the world will hate you. Why? Well, because they hate him. They don't hate you. They hate you because of him. That's what he says in these verses. And then he reminds us to faithfully endure. Look at verse 18. If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, I've chosen you out of it. The world hates you. But the believer will be marked by his faithful endurance, even through seasons of heavy persecution. Here's the end of it. If you are a believer in Christ, then he is the vine and you are the branches. He's the source of power, you are the extension cord. And because you are connected to Christ, you will produce good fruit. You know what an apple tree does not do? An apple tree does not wake up one day and say, today's a good day to make apples. An apple tree makes apples precisely because it is an apple tree. If you are connected to Christ, you will produce good and godly fruit. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do that. The world will see that you belong to Him because you will be marked in a special way. You'll faithfully endure. You'll be kingdom-minded. You'll love in a way that hurts. You'll have unspeakable joy and you'll obey even when it's hard. And you'll do that because you love Jesus and Jesus loves you. The Bible says that He loves you so much that He laid down His life for you. He died so that you might live. My friends, Jesus loves you. Our kids reminded us of that just a few minutes ago. We've done this before. I think it's worth doing it again. Would you stand right where you are? And we're going to sing this song. No instruments, just your beautiful voices singing one of the most beautiful hymns that has ever been written. One of the most deeply theological hymns that has ever been written. Would you sing this with me? Jesus. My friends, Jesus loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His life for you. And your job is to abide. Your job is to remain. And if you do, the world will know that you also love Jesus, because your life will be marked. You'll look different. If you aren't a believer in Christ, you can become one right now by simply repenting of your sins and trusting in Christ, trusting in His gift, receiving His gift of eternity. Repent of your sins, trust in Him, and be saved. And if you are a believer in Christ, then please, with all that you have, stay connected to the source of power. Stay connected to Jesus. Don't run away when bad times come, when hard times come, when difficult days present themselves. You remain, you abide, and you watch as He produces good fruit in you for all the world to see. To God be the glory, and all God's people said, amen. Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the day, grateful that we have been marked by You in a special way. I pray, God, for every single person in this room. If they don't know You, I pray You would help them to repent and believe in You and become a child of God, to have childlike faith and just simply trust. And Father, for those of us who do know You, who are born again, I pray You would help us to remain, to abide. I pray You would produce good fruit in us. Help us to be those kingdom-minded people who take You where we live, work, and play, and show the world who You are, what You've done, and why it matters. Jesus, we thank You and praise You for the cross and the gift of salvation. We thank You and praise You for sending the Holy Spirit who lives within us and helps us to produce that good fruit. Help us to live for you now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.